episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Now recording. Be told. On July the 29th, 2025, it's 2 and 9. What's that number add up to? Number 11. Anything happened today? Anything amazing out there? Fake, real, whatever? How would you know? Unless you're there. I've been listening to a fair few shows lately and putting them on at night time. If I get interested in a show, it puts me to sleep. My body will go, oh, you should be listening to this. And something shuts it down, which is fantastic. So the worse the show is, the more it wakes me up. So I've been listening, and I listen to this Occult Rejects crew of people. One of them's really good, or two of them, and one of the female voices that we got on there. One of them, just terrible, absolutely terrible. Keeps swearing all the time, and I swear a lot, but I noticed there's another one too called Nephilim Death Squad, with death, not death, squad. Great name, weak hosts. And one of them swears all the time, and you can always tell there is people, when you swear naturally, you can tell people that putting it on because they want to sound special and tough. And one of the hosts on that show, well, you know, they probably do some all right stuff out there. But they're all newbies. I tell them that newbies, I reckon these guys would be in their perhaps late 20s, early 30s. Don't know much. Probably woke up 5 years ago, if they're lucky. But got way more now at doing shows, and probably got thousands and upon thousands of people listening to them. And but anyway, the main guy of the Occult Reject show, he sounds like he knows his stuff. So I've been listening, and he had fantastic, one of my favorites, and I've spoken to before, Thomas Sheridan. Came on there on his psychopathy thing, which is 100% genuine. And I think he got a lot of his stuff off Big Alan Watt, because he did appear twice on Cutting Through the Matrix in its heyday. Thomas came on there with that other Scottish guy that speaks so much of a Scottish accent you can hardly understand a word he says. I can understand it. Neil Foster. You know, like he's lost none of his twang, even though I bet you he gets people saying, you're sounding like an American dude. But he doesn't sound American to me. He's got that real proper Scottish brogue. Whereas Alan Watt had a kind of a Canadian, slight, hey folks, this is Alan Watt. He had a completely different accent as opposed to Neil Foster. But anyway, good stuff they're all doing. I mean, anyone that's talking and getting that off their ass and getting out is doing some good stuff, but I'm really fussy now after all these years, you know, and I can hear if someone tells me that they've been into it. I woke up 2 years ago, like there was one, he sounded like on what show was it? He was a guest saying some not bad stuff, but he he thought, the way he was talking, like he was the first one to ever come up with this nobody died, nobody got hurt stuff, because he actually used that quote. We all know where that came from. And I've just done 40 shows with the man. 40 shows on Bongversations. Can you believe it? Another 4 billion to go. How many numbers can you come up with, Neil? Find things with each number. It's incredible. Really good listening. Only if you're into that kind of stuff, though. It's not for people that are just, you know, that rather talk about. This is like the computer mind, the mind of the computer mind. This is what Bongversations are about. And I just sit there and add little bits and pieces, very small bits and pieces. But so far, doing really good stuff. Now, this guy, young guy, he'd come up with his, to be honest, and he said the magic word. He said, I asked for truth, which is what I said years ago. And he said he's got this thing, and it's about, what was it? It was about the shooting at that university, Kent State University. And now, I'll give him this. He's from Kent State. He knows the university. He's been there. You know, I don't know how old he is, but he sounded like a Jimmy Olsen character, you know, from Superman, like, you know, kid reporter. Or like Robin from Batman. He's Batman. You know, he just had that. And he said he only woke up 2 years ago, where he only got. So therefore, I know how much he would know, and that's fuck all, really. But he's got an investigative mind, and he's filling it full of stuff. And he's come up with the very interesting, I thought, thing about the he was on Facebook, and which you will find lots of stuff on Facebook. I'm doing the same thing. He was on some local site, and they found that there's a memorial that was being built to the four people that allegedly got shot at Kent State in 1968, was it? 67, 68. This was the Vietnam protest. And apparently the, what was it, the G-Force? It was the 77 Regiment G-Unit. That's literally, so he said, you know, 777 there. So I don't know where he's heard Dave J's speak before, if he's ever heard of any fakeologists, but he was... I was giving him ticks, marks, you know, like, well done, well done, well done. Now, I'd looked at that years ago, and I guarantee you now, either hoax busters or fakeologists, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, broken everything that he came up with down already. But because it's this goes off into the ether, unless it's not being put onto the .com site, fakeologists.com, it's history. Now, I'm just going to – apparently the girls the other day did a show and the bumpers didn't come in and everything got lost. So hopefully very shortly we'll hear the dulcet tones of Joel. Yes, anyway, so he's – some guy had gone out into the forest or whatever near there, and there's this giant four – columns, you know, phallic-looking columns, which is always a sign. There's a vortex pattern in the middle of it, like really out there stuff. And the guy that is a guy called, is it Chris Cosmo or Carl, it was CC anyway, the name of the artist. And this kid, 10 out of 10, or I say kid, he might be 30 or 20, in his, maybe he's in his 20s. He's got off his collecting, he rang the guy up and spoke to him for 2 hours. And the guy said, oh, look, there's nothing about the, you know, there's nothing about the shapes of those things. You know, he tried to dumb it down a bit. But this guy's got millions of dollars worth of artwork all over the place in really important places. So really worth, I'm sure his surname is Cosmo. It was CC. And it was, if it was a K, it could have been a K, but so it's still KC, which is 11C. That's my name again. For the gang out there, I call them KC and the Sunshine Gang. They worship the sun and 311. That's a good name for them. And that was no surprise. So many bands, here I go again, rambling on. So many bands you had back in the 60s and 70s. The 3 Degrees, you know, it was the Fifth Dimension. There was all sorts of heavy esoterica in band names. There was nothing to that. No way they came up with any of that. Guarantee if you find it, the 3 Degrees. Where'd you get your name from? So we got our manager told us. guaranteed. Or the record company gave us a name, like Black Sabbath, 100%. And we'll be talking about Ozzy Osbourne, who passed away last week, a little bit later. A little bit later. We did a fair bit about it on Rick and Rollo 40, episode number 40, with Jollo, who came in and produced O. Fantastic stuff. I actually might mute just in case I'm blabbling away and there's no bot in the room, just in case. I'll just mute and then I'll come back and talk about a Blacker Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. Still waiting for the bot. Here we are waiting for the bumper on episode number 35 of Be Told, who didn't even say the date. He didn't bring me in. The date is the... No, I did. He did say the date, 29th of July, 2025. Waiting for the bumper. I'm going to mute again. Fantastic.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Well, you're listening to Rick coming to do a Be Told show on Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025. And over to the host, Rick. Thank you very much. Well done. How the professionalism of the show. And we've got our own continuity man, elderly, obviously, an elderly ABC continuity man. They sound a bit like Pot Black. Or was it? What was the English version? Terrific show, billiard show. And always had going for the two as the black into the pocket, the left side pocket. And there he is, wonderful. Really quiet, calm voice. And Benny Hill sent it up fantastically. Benny Hill show circa 1970s, early, to say up to about 76, 77, was got to be one of the funniest shows ever. He was incredibly funny. And he got taken out by the nasty little, creepy little Ben Elton, who, you know, oh, he's so sexist, and raved and jumped up and down, and they sacked Benny Hill, even though in the early 80s, mid-80s, when Ben Elton had come out of nowhere. I mean, what a dickhead that guy is. Yeah, he wrote some reasonably funny stuff with Blackadder, pinched a lot of his jokes, but Benny Hill, what he could do, what he could write and perform. And he was he didn't even need to say anything. It was Ben Elton's just this creepy-looking fucking, nothing funny about him in person. If you want to see bad stand-up, unless you're a lefty that just clap at anything, and they do, I'll just tell you that. He was over in New Zealand during COVID, railing against the conspiracy theorists, pushing the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. Nasty little creep. Nasty little man, Ben Elton. Benny Hill, however, sadly died, you know, by himself in his apartment, lived meagerly, had a lot of money, I do believe. And it was incredible to see the tributes. How did we get on to Benny Hill? Anyway, the tributes when Benny Hill died were Orson Welles. Who else? The greatest of all American actors came out saying this guy was a genius. They knew it. It was like Charlton Heston, Orson Welles, came out and said, you know, it was one of the, like, I'm talking about major league legends raving about how good Benny Hill was and how much he made them laugh. Did they mention anything about Ben Elton? I guarantee they didn't. Just, you know, nasty little loudmouth Trotsky humour. That's all he was and is. He's still around. He married an Australian woman, and I think he lives over here. Oh, I wouldn't like to run into him. Well, I would like to run into him physically, you know, running around the corner, actually crash into him. And so that one's for Benny. Ben. But anyway, back to what we're talking about, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne. Absolutely. I could see it was the end was near for Ozzy, especially the way he came in about 2 months ago, moved back to Birmingham, And he said he's come back. And he didn't say to die, but I could read between the lines. You know, and he's a very humble, easygoing. He is not a devil worshipper. Never was a devil worshipper. It was mainly the American audience that actually got conned into that whole imagery of, you know, Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman era. And he came out singing about Mr. Crowley. Guaranteed someone told him to write that song. Because I guarantee you now he had read none of Aleister Crowley's books. That's zero. Zero. And the song's pathetic. I'm not a fan of majority of his solo work is an embarrassment. He said the same thing. When he sobered up, his son Jack did a film on him going back to Birmingham. It's quite good if you can find it. Jack Osborne, production about Ozzy, his father, and he goes to his old house and, you know, he roams around and he just says he shakes his head when he looks at things like particularly, I would say, Bark at the Moon, embarrassment. You know, there he is dressed up. To me, at best, he was a Vincent Price or Bela Lugosi rock star. You know, so he dressed up and put makeup on, pretended to be this person. But a lot of dummies out there fell for it. And there'd be an awful lot. There's so many bands like Wasp and all these other bands came out and good band, but, you know, the imagery and they all dressed up, you know, and sang songs, you know, with that kind of satanic thing because it sold. It really did sell, this whole evil thing. And Black Sabbath really went over the top with after they got rid of Ozzy and got Dio in, Ronnie James Dio, who knew stuff. I guarantee you now knew stuff. And I remember years ago, one of the greats, John Adams of the Hoaxbusters call, he started getting into a thing he called rock alchemy or musical alchemy. And whether he came up with it or he read about it, but there's a there guaranteed. And it's basically like using the lyrics, but fire, water, ice, wind, you know, you create an alchemical spell in their voice. And Dio, without any doubt, knew what he was doing. And he wrote, And I guess Geezer Butler wrote a lot of the stuff as well. But those, so from when they came out, Heaven and Hell, and with some terrific songs on it, Die Young, I think is off Heaven and Hell. Interestingly, and what a faux pas to the metal fans out there, if anyone's a proper metal fan, the other day Brisbane Times, as my father calls it, had a headline that said Ozzy Osbourne dead, and they had an image of him sitting in between that album with the Angels and smoking cigarettes, which was a Heaven and Hell album, which that is like sacrilege. That's like putting the Pope in a Jewish or in a Muslim temple. In an image, because Ozzy Osbourne and Dio were completely, they didn't, or Ozzy hated him or didn't like him till like much later. And true fans like myself would not listen to Dio out of, you know, they sacked Ozzy, then we're not going to listen to Dio. Even though Dio and those songs on those albums, which are absolutely terrific. But I believe this musical alchemy is involved, that kind of spellcraft. The sea, the fire, the flames. And listen to Dio's. That guy's got one of the greatest voices ever in hard rock. And there I was in denial, being an Ozzy Osbourne fan. And Ozzy cannot sing. He cannot sing. He has a very distinctive kind of a bluesy kind of tone, but he's not a singer. And you wouldn't want him to get him up on stage with a proper singer. He couldn't do it. But Dio, a little 5'6", 5'7", with a voice like like Rollo, for instance. He's not tiny, but that guy's voice is 10 times louder than anyone else. Dio had the same power. Incredible. I had another regret. I had a free ticket to Dio. I didn't go. I wanted to go. I thought I'll save money and just go drinking with someone else. What a fuckwit. What a fuckwit. This is in 87, 88. Look, I was never a great big fan of Dio's solo stuff. I couldn't even tell you a single name of any of his songs. But his stuff he did with, now here we go, this is basically a rock show, Rick's Rock Show. The Dio stuff that he did with Rainbow prior to Black Sabbath, or was it up? Yeah, it was prior to Black Sabbath. Stargazer. Maybe we'll play that at the end of the show. That is an absolute anthem. Stomper, heavy rock stomper. And full of that Dungeons and Dragons mysticism and stuff. And he'd come from a band called Elf. I don't know if they're all short, but he was. He looked like one. And Richie Blackmore's a great one for picking vocalists, whereas Ozzy Osbourne's a great one for picking guitarists. You'll find Blackmore will always have the greatest vocalists that have ever been singing for him. And Ozzy somehow would pick the best guitarists ever. Not that I'm a big fan of Randy Rhoads, but he apparently is very good. And he would come out and, you know, look at, you know, Jakey Lee, Zach Wilde, Randy Rhoads. Who else did he have? Well, three of them. They are three fantastic guitarists. But not his Aussie or American stuff is just, to me, it's just embarrassing. It's tinny sounding. I was talking about this last show. I think it's got Black Sabbath in the name, episode number 34. I possibly was. And yes, thank God, I just worried that I'd muted myself again. Yeah, so where are we going here? Music. Well, yes, so he passed away. It is very sad, but to me, you know, it wasn't to be unexpected. And anyone that's had any dealings with anyone with Parkinson's, and I'll say this, thank God I haven't really, apart from not that long ago. I had a guy call me. I've talked about it before, and he said, I bumped into you at a garage sale. Are you interested in some old records? And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, can you back your van in? I live down here. And I said, what, back of my van in? And he gave me about, I'm looking at a poll, say 378s from 1920 to 1940 something or other, and a wind-up gramophone for nothing, because he knew it would go to a good home. He could spot a hoarder. There's a particular look that hoarders have. He knows that I wasn't going to sell any of it. I'm going to keep it, and I am going to keep it. I love old things. Most old things, not all old things. So anyway, when I was speaking to him, he's telling me he just got out of hospital. He'd been in there for 3 months since I'd last seen him, when I'd seen him at the garage sale. And he gave me the 1,000-yard stare. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a true thing that when someone looks at you, it's like it's from the military term where people had come back from being in action or they didn't, you know, and they could see their stare from 1,000 yards away in their eyes, which I totally believe is the real thing. I've seen photos of it too. But when you actually see someone look at you with this, you just can tell its truth about it. Withering, powerful. And he said that the medication that they give you for Parkinson's cause hallucinations of the worst kind. And he said he was watching spiders and bugs crawling all over the walls 3 months. Can you imagine it? Well, I can, and I'd rather not be alive rather than that. And he was going off basically to die. He was in the last stages of it. And Osborne had been diagnosed with a fast-acting version of it. So I think he pushed off. He got help to go. I would guarantee you that. I don't know that for a fact, but 2 days before he died, he was sitting in the lounge with Kelly and the son I met, Lewis, and a grandson, could have been one of Lewis's. And he was sitting there looking on the internet, and they said, say hello, Dad. And he goes, hello, hello. And this is 2 days before he allegedly died. He didn't look like he was like that bad. But when you saw him hobbling around in pain, like anyone that's been worked in hospitals and have seen what happens to a lot of people when they go in there for end stage, they prolong your life just to get money out of you, and they put you on ventilators. No one wants to die like that. Particularly nurses. You'll never, ever hear a nurse say, oh, send me to hospital. They always say, let's just put me out of my misery. My mother said that a long time before she passed away. She said she'd seen what happens to you when you go into end of life, put into an old folks home or into a senior citizens ward or whatever they're called. Miserable, depressing. And is there anyone out there that would want to go like that? I find it hard to believe. No one. But people make money out of people like that. There's, you know, and some people will put people on life support just so that, you know, so they can go, and they don't want mum to go or dad to go. So they put them on life support, and they're in on a ventilator in a room, you know, like skeletons. And I've seen a couple in hospital like that, and I was thinking, no way. But if you had the chance before you lost your brain, you'd take something. And I think nowadays it's extremely easy for that to happen. I do believe the Pathways thing. I think Aussie took the Pathways program, which would have said, like, they give you, I would say, either midazolam and opioids, and you just press the button till you drop off and your heart stops. And I'd rather have him do that than have suffered and see him. He was already looking bad. It was very sad to see him on that the concert. He sang all right with his solo stuff. The Black Sabbath one, he did all right. Look, considering he was about to die, and I totally believe he's dead. Just like anyone, like Lemmy, I saw a footage of him, another massive Motorhead fan, been to see them, touched his foot, if that counts, touched his foot on front of stage, 83, wherever it was. Incredible performer. When he was dying, he looked so bad. It was so terrible. He got up on stage, and just his last concert, he got up there 17 days before he died. Ozzy Osbourne, 17 days before he died. Did you know that? I brought it up on the Rick and Rollo show, but Ozzy and Lemmy, who are very good friends, both died 17 days after their last performance. Coincidence or not? It is a coincidence. I don't know how Lemmy was so ill. He had very fast-acting cancer. And I suggest an awful lot of people in 2015, I think it was, died. Bowie, Lemmy, Prince. There was a whole, many, many legends all went that year. Were they pushed off this mortal coil? Did Bowie fake it? Because I've seen plenty of evidence that he looks like he might have. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I forget the name of the guy, Jack, that turned up to do a tribute about David Bowie the next day, if you've seen that. He looks just like him. Oh, yes, he does. And would he have done that just a bit of a slap in the face to, well, not a slap in the face, but just to his real fans, come out as a guy who was apparently had worked for him before, Jack someone or other, and did a tribute to David Bowie the next day. And to me, I was looking and go, he sounds like him too. Not only does he look like him, he sounds like him. He had a prosthetic nose or something on, but my goodness, that looked like David Bowie. But Lemmy definitely did. Ozzy Osbourne, I would say, definitely did. I've seen these guys in their prime, and he was very, very much not looking too well. I didn't think he was going to die that fast. Lemmy, I did, but not Ozzy. I thought he would have kept going till next year or whatever, but wasn't to be. Very sad. But I did get to meet, and I talked about it on the Rick and Rollo show, Lewis one night, and the winner is Sydney. About the year 2000 would have been, 2000, maybe 2001. That would make sense. I talked about this. I'll say it again for people that don't listen to Rick and Rollo. I spotted it, said Lewis Osborne, Ozzy Osborne's son, is DJing in various nightclubs in Australia as a guest DJ. And so this is my era where I was going out every Saturday night Rick, hitting the dance floors till 4 a.m. or 5 a.m, having a terrific time. But, you know, I think I was single and happy back then for a very brief time. In between relationships. And I used to go out all the time. I had a great time. And I walked into this nightclub in near Central, just by coincidence, just to the right of the Matrix's very first scene of the Matrix. There was a nightclub underneath that, one of those bridges. And I know that because I was there that night. It was the last night of filming of the Matrix, or the last two nights. They filmed the very first scene. And anyway, this nightclub was right next to that, by coincidence. And I went in there, and there he was just standing there by his deck. He wasn't coming on for a while. He was probably just preparing. And I just went up and started talking to him. And I was talking to him for at least, in my head, it was 2 hours. It was well over an hour. And we just chatting away about, I was off my head. But I was telling him about how important his father was to me as a teenager, 16 years before. And he was a really interesting guy, really down to earth. You're listening to Beer Talk.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
And truthmeets.com, click on the donut link, as Klaus Schwab used to say. Where is Klaus Schwab these days? He got 88 years of age. They got rid of him. Ozzy was Ozzy 77 or 76? One of those eras. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, this is Rick on the Wednesday, the 29th of... Where's the continuity guy? What's happened to him? 29th of July 2025, Tuesday. The 29th. Yeah, no, so I spoke to Lewis for ages and, like, totally down to earth, really not. I think he was bemused that someone knew who he was, but I knew all about his father, And we were talking about the music and bits and pieces. And I did get the vibe, though, that he wasn't a big fan of Shazza. And I was talking about Wicked Stepmothers on the Rick and Rollo show because that is a there. Most times, a second marriage, the new wife does not like the children of the first marriage because it's taking them away from their new money bag, their new, you know, the thing they're screwing money out of. Sorry, but that's what's happening a lot of the time. And the children are not part of anything, particularly not part of anything. So I've never heard, very few stepmothers are popular by the first children, very few. And she'd be a classic example because I've already talked all about her father, Don, the Don, because that's what he was, like a gangster. I'm not going to repeat, I've already talked about Rick and Roll episode number 40, hanging people out of windows, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's where that came from on A Fish Called Wanda. That was based on what actually Don did to probably the poor little the tiny little members of Small Faces. I don't know if he did rip them off, but he ripped a lot of people off. But one interesting thing here, if you listen to the album Born Again, which is I like, to be honest, this is Black Sabbath when Dio, they got rid of Dio, that had another singer, then they got Ian Gillan, I would have to hold up as my favourite singer of the 70s and 80s. When I first got into Deep Purple in the mid-70s, when the very first time I went to we called it Fun Parlour, but it was an area, you know, we had pool tables and some of the early computer games. Just, you had a great time. It's where your kids went. And there's always a jukebox in there. And I first heard the live version of Smoke on the Water, the greatest version, from Made in Japan. And absolutely, Ian Gillan, Deep Purple became my obsessive band. Then a little bit later, Black Sabbath. Led Zeppelin was always good, but they were a little bit too elitist for me. I liked them, but I was not obsessed with them. But Ian Gillan, absolutely fantastic. I've seen him many times. He's still going. He looks fantastic. He looks his age, but he looks fantastic. A good friend of Richard Branson. I'll say that. Very good friend of Richard Branson's. We were talking about him the other night on Rick and Rollo show. Great show, episode number 40, truthmeets.com. Lots of trivia on that show. Anyway, Ian Gillan bumped into Geezer and Bill and Tony, drunk a few times. He is friends of Ozzy as well. And they said, he reckoned he got so drunk with them one night and he woke up and they'd signed a contract to record an album. And the album came out called Born Again. Now, a lot of people didn't like it. There's some fantastic songs on it, particularly the song Zero the Hero that is definitely stolen by Guns N' Roses, the very inferior band, for that song Paradise City. Great guitar riff. That is Born Again, 100%. From Born Again. Now, all of them, again, this is, I keep talking about this, Black Sabbath and these bands have no control over their album covers. Zero, the Hero, there's a song by coincidence, but zero control. And they put this out, it came out with this ugly looking baby with fangs on the front cover, and it was called Born Again. And they must have been told, look, you've got to sing a kind of devil kind of worship song. And they recorded a song called Born Again, and it has all screaming. But Ian said that they did not. It was not his idea. He said it looked ridiculous. It was the worst thing they could have done is have that album. They should have called themselves, in my mind, if I was the manager, Black Purple or Deep Sabbath. Anything other than Black Sabbath, you know, kind of masked as, again, doing devil worshipping stuff. The album came out. Did it tank? Well, it's not so good. But anyway, some of it, if you're a metal purist, and I know a lot, including Utopia Records in Sydney, and it is the greatest metal shop ever, they actually had a label and they said, this is one of the hardest rock albums ever, heaviest rock albums ever. And I have to agree, the production's phenomenal. Phenomenal. If you've got it up loud and you've got good speakers, some of the stuff on Born Again, not all of it, but there's a few good songs, but one of the songs, where was it going here? Digital Bitch. Now, it's about a very rich woman whose father made a fortune from computers that hung around them all the time. Apparently, it was Sharon Osbourne they're referring to. So Don Arden, I mentioned it before. Don Arden must have invested, took all the money that he ripped off all the other artists back in England, moved to America, and obviously sunk the whole lot into computers, into the, what was it called, that area of wherever it is in San Francisco, the digital area, and made a huge sum of money. And Sharon was over there, and she used to drive around in a sports car. And this song, Digital Bitch, apparently is all about her. Trivia, a bit of the highest magnitude, Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo, Be Told Show. Always the greatest trivia when it comes to metal and heavy rock. And Be Told, 1,000,000,000%. Again, the song's not bad. Zero the Hero, though, what a fantastic song. Actually, maybe we'll go out with that. Yeah. Well, I'll think of something. What other things? So Ozzy's gone. The Hulk, you know, I'm not a big fan of wrestling, but he's an icon. Massive icon, Hulk Hogan. I'm not going to talk about him. But HH and OO, very unusual, two massive pop icons. With double-barreled HH or OO stage names, John and Tim, that's their real names. I'm sure I read somewhere that it was Tim something or other, that's Hulk Hogan's real name. Anyway, I'm going to mute a little bit, and then I'll be back, Beatle. And he's back, he didn't even notice, but I have to give some medical advice. Yeah, not medical advice, actually beauty advice or healthy advice. There's a shampoo. Can it just be Australian? I'm not sure. But I used to suffer from horrific, like snow-like dandruff every now and then. And so I'm only, I just wash my hair now, and if you've got hair, that is, with this Dr. Bronner, B-R-O-N-N-E-R-S, 18-in-1 hemp peppermint pure Castile soap. You can get lots of different varieties, but it's all 18-in-1 hemp, and it could be, you know, some different oil from something else, but this one's a peppermint one. Pure Castile soap, certified free trade, made with organic oils. Now, I don't use conditioners anymore or anything, and it completely fixed the problem. Dr. Bronner, I should be getting sponsored by him, but I'm telling you, for people out there that suffer and they go and buy, or even people that go and buy conditioners and shampoos, that talk about rot, and especially anti-dandruff shampoos. These things give you dandruff. There's a conspiracy here, and I guarantee I'm right. Everyone says the same thing. It gets rid of it for 2 days and it comes back worse. Well, Dr. Bronner's 18-in-1 peppermint soap, brought to you by the Beetle Chew. Pure Castile soap. Now, I don't know if it's from overseas or where it is, but for $20, you get a huge big bottle, which probably lasts a year or at least 6 months. You don't need much of it. And I also, how often do people, I think you should only, this bathing thing about, I mean, if it's really hot and sweaty in summer, you've got to do it every day. But I think we've been conditioned to eat too much and bathe too much. So we're putting soaps and washing all the natural oils off our body. And it's poisonous. How many homeless people have you seen on the streets with bad hair? Usually none. And it was pointed out in the movie, The Lonely Guy. Very fun. Highly recommend The Lonely Guy with Steve Martin. And someone said, have you ever seen a bald bum? And I'm talking about the homeless version, not a bottom. And it's quite true. They always seem to have really lustrous hair because they're not washing it all the time and putting all these stupid conditioners and soaps in there. There's a there, there. There's a there, there. What's the other good advice I'll give you? If you haven't had children in your relationship and your fiancé or wife or whatever, or husband these days, is pregnant, do not go and watch the birth. There you go. Unless it's a natural one that they're doing water, do not go into the birthing room and watch the process of birth. I'm telling you now, it is not pleasant. I'll just say that. It's scarring for most fathers. I know a guy, when I saw him, he had that 1,000-yard stare. He was staring like straight at his eyes, were sticking out of his head. This is a month after he'd witnessed the birth of his first child. And he said he would never repeat that again. The horror of watching what they go through. The language, it's like The Exorcist times 10 with the language and the not for everyone, but for majority of women, particularly their first one. Apparently I was a nightmare. I was like The Exorcist, like the way I came out. You know, it was like out of some horror movie. For the fathers, do not go in there. Do not go in there. But yeah, that's my advice. And use Dr. Bronner's. And if you don't want dandruff, 18-in-1 hemp and peppermint pure Castile soap by Dr. Bronner. There you go. Life-changing advice. Guaranteed. See, I'm not making a cent out of any of this advice. This is the other thing I don't like about these shows I listen to lately. Not all of them. But the ones that have got paywalls or sponsors. And halfway through, what's a classic example of one? My family thinks I'm crazy. He does these like 5-minute spiels about the latest hemp gummy that he's pushing, reads the same script. It's like nothing he says after that is valid to me. He's just reading a script and someone's giving him money to read this bullshit. I would rather, well, you're listening to it for free here, and I'm not making any money. I wish I was, but unfortunately it doesn't happen. But, you know, if someone said, you know, what was I, you know, all of a sudden someone offered me $10,000 a week, but I had to spruik jewelry wash for your Catholic worry beads. What are those things called that the Catholics have? Rosary beads. Rosary bead polish. And straight away you go, why would he be sponsoring rosary beads? He must be a Jesuit. He's part of the Catholics have got to him. And what it could be too, if all of a sudden I said, and guys, just remember, if you've got your rosary beads are looking a bit, they're a bit tarnished, I've got this fantastic rosary bead polish, and I'll start reading out the name of this, Rick's rosary bead polish. Straight away, my credibility is zero. Absolutely zero. I think we will play Zero the Hero too at the end of the show. Guaranteed, stolen by very, basically Guns N' Roses is to me, a tribute band to Aerosmith at best. And he is not aging well. Poor old Axl Rose. He was a nasty person. Apparently Ozzy Osbourne came up one night. They were keeping their fans. He was on the Ozfest. They brought Guns N' Roses in to do a spot. And Axl became a rock star. They sold 10 million records, and all of a sudden he turned into a rock star, like a film star can turn back in the day. And he would deliberately hold the stage for 2 hours before they were due and come on 2 hours after. And Ozzy apparently stormed into their room and said, get on the fucking stage or fuck off the concert. Because he was a man for his fans. Guaranteed. And there was Axl with his, again, looking just more and more like the cross between Benny Hill and Donald Trump. I'm telling you, that's what he looks like to me. With his orangey hair. I don't know where he got it from. It's been added to over the years. But coming in, Ozzy held his hand or shook his hand. What really was an end of an era concert. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I got the torrent sent to me by a wonderful listener from Ireland, from Kerry, Cork and Kerry Mountains. Shut up with Bill Burrows. I think it was Kerry. He sent me the torrent for it. I haven't done it yet because I'm absolutely fucking a Luddite. You should know that. You should have known. I might get my son, who's sitting in the room, three doors away, to see if he can do it later. Because I'd like to watch it. I would like to watch it. It's going to get released, though. Slayer did look like they did a really good job. If you've got good stereo, what do you call it, a sound bar, or your stereo's rigged up on a big screen TV, it's going to be a fantastic concert. I'll be looking forward to it. I just don't sit down. I do not sit down. Very rarely do I sit down. blah, 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 blah. Now, another thing I've mentioned before, this book, the Disinherited Mind book, highly recommended if you can find it, and I bet you can't. But I'll keep reiterating Karl Kraus. Karl Kraus, The Coming End of Civilization, was one of his books. Apparently a really clever writer in Germany who gave it to the Nazis and the Jewish press and the Nazis. He gave it to both of them, stuck it right up them. Sounds like a fantastic person, old Karl. So not many people know who he is. I highly recommend you look into him. But a lot of his stuff is still, it's not translated into English, so it's not really easy to get in, to get into. And there's The Coming Takeover by, The Coming Satanic Takeover of the Planet. That was another one of his papers that he wrote. Absolutely 100% spot on, guaranteed. It's happened. It's happening. And beer, the price of beer, it's going up again at the end of the week over here. Why aren't I brewing my own? Good question. Very good question. I can still get a case of beer for $40, though, if I look around. But some cartons are $70 to $80 for a case of beer. That is just ridiculous. And I'm going to say this again, till I'm blue. Why is tobacco being demonized so much, yet vaccines and booster shots, etc., is completely fine? It's because there's definitely a there that nicotine helps you with your health. Now, take it in patches, take it as a juice, like snus, like the Swedes, they used to, you know, I went, had a Swedish girlfriend. She'd stick the little, like a little tiny mini tea bag underneath the bottom of their top lip. And they said, you're listening to Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to, good evening, everyone. You're listening to Be Told, episode number 35, on Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025. And back to the host, Rick. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Wonderful. How much do we cost? How much does he cost? He's doing a good job. Where was he last time, though? I think he might have gone off somewhere. Anyway, cigarettes and beer. Two of my favorite things. And why not? Despite my age. the money that it's costing for the average person. Now, I don't smoke a lot. Very little, really. But I don't smoke. I would never smoke those. About $60 a packet, $50 a packet over here. Or the import illegal ones, about $10. But they're all made. I don't know where they come from. But the beer, it's just going up and up and up and up. So the average guy going for a quiet beer is, you're talking about $100 just to get tiddly around here. Well, not to, you know, to get drunk, you'd need $100. Now, back in the day, you could be on the unemployment benefit and still go out and get drunk and smoke back in the 80s and 90s. Not anymore. It's becoming now. But why is tobacco product being demonized so much? And I'm telling you, the laws that they've brought in over here are phenomenal. You know, it's just, I read the new sign of, as of April, was it July this year? I think it was July, that we are going, you know, you can't do this, can't do that. They're removing menthol cigarettes. You can't have menthol anymore. It's illegal. Why is this so? But they'll put toxic shit in your drinking water and your foods and vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. No problem. Stick it under your skin. Stick it into your, straighten your blood. Eat this, eat that. But, oh, you can't do this. If they really, like, to me, there's a real big question here that they're trying to get rid of you. That's quite openly they're trying to get rid of you. They don't want the useless eaters on this planet. AI is going to make a lot of people unemployed, are guaranteed. No argument entered into. They're sacking huge amounts of bureaucrats in the government, which is a good thing in some ways, but as the people I spoke to in cafes in Wellington recently said, these were their major, the people that were coming in for breakfast and lunch and dinner, all of a sudden a thousand of them got sacked. Ooh. And it's a trickle-down effect of all these little cafes starting to close up everywhere. So, but the fact that they do not want you to getting nicotine into your system. Now, I've been here seeing nothing, but apparently it is one of the top things to boost your, for whatever that, the stuff that they're spraying on you and putting into your food and spraying on your food, this negates it. So there's a there. And apparently, you don't want to start smoking. I would not advise anyone to do that, but it could be nicotinamide, is it B something or other? Is it B7 or B6, nicotinamide or whatever? You can get supplements or you can get patches. If you run down feelings, it can boost you back up again. Now, this is not medical advice, but it is in a kind of a way. He says, imbibing. There's a there. You've got to, if you've got this, you know, they call it this long COVID phenomena, long COVID. Basically, whatever you stuck in your arm, God knows, or got into your... I mean, I was sick. I had something very mysterious, lost my sense of smell and taste. Still not 100% either. And Marcus Allen said the same thing, and same with Critical Thinker. There's two people that I trust out there. Both said that they had the same thing when I talked about it on Fakeologist, because I was told that I was imagining it and it was something to do with chemicals, which it could have been, to be honest. but this was different. And when have you ever, ever heard of something killing your sense of taste and smell? And so many people suffered from it, including my brother's ex. She lost it completely and couldn't, and she was vaccinated, I would say. And if you're into smelling things, females particularly, it's very unusual for a female to lose this because they can smell BO from about 8 miles away. Trust me. You know, they just seem to have this nose for smell, women. They always tell it complaining about their teenage children smelling and things like that. Completely natural. Their hormones going all over the place. And they go out and buy the Rexona, which is one of the most poor, have to be the, there's got to be a there with the Rexona. I haven't gone into it, but there'll be a there. It has got to be the most toxic fucking smell ever. And there's teenagers spraying it all over themselves. And there's this new advert out there on buses and on billboards for this new deodorant for everywhere. And it's got boobs. Basically, it didn't say pussy, but it's, what do they call it? Your hoo-ha. Your hoo-ha, your boobs, underarms, everywhere. Spray it. And it's Rexona again. Spray it on all those things. Can you imagine what this would be doing to your immune system? Can you imagine it? I'll tell you what it's doing to it, killing it. So don't. It's not just the vaccines out there that are killing you. It's your food. It's your underarm deodorant particularly. I've always railed against underarm deodorant, antiperspirants rather. You can put tea tree under there. There's lots of good ones, natural ones. There's crystals. There's essential oil ones. But these ones that block your drainage system, which you've got under your arms and on your pubic region around that area, on the sides of your hips type of thing. There's a couple of glands up there. These things are there for a reason. If you block them up, just like ask a plumber what would happen. I'll say this again, exact my version of it is ask a plumber what would happen if you went and stuck cotton wool down all your drains on your property and it rained heavily. The water's going to build up and it's going to go everywhere else and cause leakages and issues. And mold. This is happening to humans and teenagers particularly. Thanks to their mothers a lot of the time, or their girlfriends, so they smell. And now there's another deodorant out there for your hoo-ha and under your boobs. This is what the advert says. It's a picture of a body and it has the word hoo-ha. You know where that area is. And your boobs, which you know where they are. And everywhere else, it says. This is guaranteed going to cause mass cancers, mass sickness, mass illness. And now we're going to wind it up now. I had to do another one, 35, be told. I could talk all night, though, as you would know. But I have to keep doing a be told every now and then. I've just done a bongvisation, a fakeologist, and a Rick and Rollo. So this is number 4 this week. What a man. What a talkative man. Ricky talks too much. That was my past... passport. Every time I got a report card back in the 70s, it would always, one of the teachers or someone would always put that comment, Ricky talks too much and doesn't listen. And thank God, otherwise I would have been staggering around normie right now. I'll be told. So what are we going to go out with? Let me think. Would it be Zero the Hero? It's a bit heavy. Keep It Warm. It's quite a night. That actually might go with Keep It Warm, which is a kind of uplifting-ish kind of one by Ian Gillan when he was with Black Sabbath. Or should we do an Ozzy Osbourne? No, I think we'll go Born Again, Keep It Warm with Ian Gillan and the whole, I think it was Bev Bevan from Electric Light Orchestra drumming, even though the album says Bill Ward, but I do believe Bev Bevan from the Electric Light Orchestra came in for their live concerts. Great song, though, with Ian Gillan's voice and big Tony Iommi and Geezer playing a really nice song about missing his wife or girlfriend or whatever it was back in the day. So Keep It Warm by Black Sabbath coming up on 1, 2, 3. Now, boom. Bye, folks.